I'd like to point out one of those nuggets this morning in the fourth chapter as they are listing the family of Caleb. Verses 9 and 10, we are given a brief introduction to a man, a few facts concerning him. A man who is outstanding from the others because he is a man of prayer. A man who will devote himself to prayer will always be outstanding above the others, stands above the rest. He is a man of special note, and so is this man, Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." The word Jabez means born of pain or born of grief. Evidently, when he was born, his mother had a tough pregnancy and a hard delivery. And so she called him Jabez, born of grief or born of pain. Terrible tag to put on a kid as far as a name is concerned. Their history, when Jacob's wife Rachel bare her second son, she called him Benoni, which is son of sorrow, because while in childbirth she died, and her dying words was the name of her son, Benoni, the son of sorrow. Jacob had mercy on him, and he changed his name to Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. He didn't want him to live under the shadow of the name son of sorrow, and thus changed it. But somehow this stuck with Jabez, son or born of pain or born of grief. And Jabez called unto the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. The basic petition of Jabez was that of blessing. "Lord, I want you to bless me indeed." Now, I have met people who say in a very sanctimonious way, "Well, I never pray for anything for myself." "Oh, aren't you righteous? All you do is pray for others' needs, but you are so unimportant that you never ask God anything for yourself." First of all, I think it's a lot of hooey. But I've had people tell me that, and usually it is with a very self-righteous kind of air, you know. Like, "Well, you know, I just never pray for myself." I have found that usually, though, the reason why they don't is that they're afraid that God might answer their prayer, and then they would be obligated to God, and they don't want to have any obligations, and they don't want to feel any obligations towards God. And usually they are people who don't know God, and they really don't want to feel obligated to God, and thus they never pray for themselves. I pray for myself all the time. I see no problem in praying for myself. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as he taught them to pray, giving to them a model prayer, many and most of the petitions within that model prayer were personal petitions. "Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Personal petitions. Nothing wrong with it. How can I be of any value to God in ministering to others unless I have first of all been ministered to by God? The scripture said the husbandman must be first the partaker of the fruit. And I have to receive the blessings of God in my own life if I'm going to be able to impart the blessings of God to others. It's sort of like measles. You can't give them unless you got them. And so you need to be blessed of God in order that you might be able to impart the blessings of God unto other people. If you want the blessings of God upon your life, then ask for them. I want God to bless me with wisdom and judgment. With all of the responsibilities that I have, the decisions that must be made, how I desire the wisdom of God, good judgment. I want God to bless me with health, and I thank God that He has. Paul the Apostle thanked God for his sicknesses because it was during those periods of sickness that he discovered the strength of the Lord. He said, "When I am weak, then I am strong, because my strength then I draw from Him." And God has allowed me to see my weaknesses in order that I might learn to rely upon His strength. And so there can be a value to being sick if you take it in the right way and learn to draw from the strength of the Lord. But I thank the Lord for health. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for the many, many blessings that I have, the way He's provided for me. But I'm always careful to give thanks to God for these blessings. I think that too many times we take the blessings of God for granted. A lot of people just sit down at the table and start chowing down without even stopping to thank God and to give blessing for the food that God has provided. Lord, bless me. Bless me indeed. Three basic blessings that Jabez asked for. The first was that God would enlarge his coast. We have a tendency towards inwardness, involved in ourselves, a self-centeredness. And I am very interested in those things that affect me. If a person becomes too inward, he becomes miserable. Everything he takes in a subjective way. And he just learns, he becomes almost paranoid. If people are over there talking in a group, I'm sure they're talking about me. I wonder if they like me or not, you know. And everything is me, me, me. And you just get paranoid and you get miserable if you're too inward. Lord, enlarge my coast. Don't let me be so self-centered. We all of us have that tendency. We're all prone to that. And it comes out, especially if we're in a hurry, driving down the street, and say Fairview, two lanes, and there are two cars just poking side by side. And I pull up behind them, and I'm in this big hurry. I'm late for an appointment. And they're not passing one another. They're staying at the same slow speed. What's wrong with them? Don't they know there are other people in the world beside them? Why do they drive so slow up Fairview Street? The speed limit's at least 40 miles an hour, and they're only doing 35, you know. What's wrong with them? And pretty soon, as I'm behind one riding the bumper, I'm going to let them know my displeasure at the way they're blocking me. Who do they think they are to block me when I'm in a hurry, you know? And lay upon my horn and motion with my hand, move over, you know. What's wrong with you, you know? And as you go past, you glare at them like, You know, what's wrong with you, man? How can you slow me down? And we're prone towards that thinking about ourselves and self-centeredness. God, enlarge my coast, enlarge the borders of my life. That it's just not me. Some people have their borders enlarged to their family, and they're very family-oriented. And everything is for the family and how it relates to the family. Some people are very community-oriented. They become very strong in the community, and if they live in Santa Ana, then everything is for Santa Anans. Those people in orange, let them take care of themselves. They're not from Santa Ana, you know. And those people down in Costa Mesa, it's too bad for them. You know, we're out for Santa Ana and people out for their communities. Lord, enlarge my borders. And some people's borders are enlarged to the state, in the state of California, which is the greatest state in the union, you know. And Arizona, be hanged. We want the water out of the Colorado River, you know. And they have no right to our water, you know. And we think in terms of California. And if you're from Arizona, oh, well, that's all right. You know, you can go park down there. But we get, you know, sort of territorial. Some people are that way about the nation, the United States. Everything for our country. You know, we're not so concerned with the needs of the other countries, the needs of other people. If you're a U.S. citizen, then we feel that that should give me priority and that should you know, cause me to be able to go to the front of the line because I'm a citizen of the U.S. And yet God loves the world. And as far as God is concerned, we're all equal. The man from Tasmania is just as important to God as the person from the United States. And I need to have a broader vision. I need to have the vision like God has, not to just see things within narrow limits. God, enlarge my borders. Enlarge my heart that I'll have compassion, not just for my family or not just for my community. Compassion like God's compassion for the world. We find this very much in church circles. We speak so often of my church. And we're so interested in seeing the prosperity and the growth of our church rather than the kingdom of God. We can actually be even a little jealous that the Baptist church is being blessed so much of late. Building a fabulous new building. Oh, you know, that's, well, don't you know they're Baptist, you know? And like they're not part of the family, like they're not a part of the kingdom of God. And we are so prone towards this our kind of bit and others. God, deliver me and help me to have a broader vision and help me to be more concerned with others. Even who are not of my same ilk or my same group or whatever. Lord, help me to just see the kingdom of God and help me, Lord, to really be concerned with all of the churches in our area that are proclaiming God's love through Jesus Christ and salvation through grace and faith in Him. And deliver me from narrow sectarianism or denominationalism or whatever. God, enlarge my borders. I have that tendency towards inwardness. God, I want to be outward. His next petition, blessing that he desired was that the hand of God might be with him. Oh, how I desire the hand of God upon my life. The hand of God upon my life always brings to me such great comfort. It's just comforting when God's hand is on you. You know that he is with you. That strength of the consciousness of God's presence. You know that his hand upon you, he's guiding you. And how desperately I need that. That hand that checks me when I start to take the wrong turn. That hand that gently leads me in the right direction. Oh, Lord, that your hand would be with me to guide, and then the hand of God to strengthen. Paul the Apostle said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, Lord, I want your hand upon my life. The last petition was that the Lord would keep him from evil. This is one of the petitions that Jesus gave us in the model prayer. Deliver us from evil. He told us that we should pray that. You see, there is a natural tendency in each of us towards evil. That is the natural bent of man. A child left to himself will bring reproach to his parents. You've got to teach your child. You've got to train your child. You've got to discipline your child. A child's natural bent is towards evil. You have to teach him what is good. You've got to train him in his moral values. You've got to instruct him in doing that which is right. Because left to himself, a child will gravitate towards evil. That's just the fallen nature of man. It gravitates towards evil. You can observe it on the school grounds. The little boys, as they are out there on the playground, how if one has picked up somewhere a pornographic picture, the little boys gather around and the giggling and everything else, and the gravitation towards evil. You've got to teach them and train them to walk in the right path, to do that which is good. Lord, keep me from my natural bent of gravitating towards evil. Why? Lest it be a grief unto me. His name means born of grief. God, I don't want to be grief. And I don't want to be grieved by evil. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is the way of death. The initial path of evil often seems exciting, exhilarating, fun. As Satan is holding up the temptations to you, they're always very alluring, enticing. And we are prone to follow after that path because it seems so exciting, so enticing. But what you don't realize so often is that to walk that path, though in the beginning may be exciting, in the end is pain and grief. Lord, keep me from evil that it will not grieve me, because sin always and its ultimate effect upon your life will be that of misery and grief, not only for you, but for all of those around you who have been affected by what you have done. Look at the grief that sin has brought into our world today. Look at the suffering that sin has brought into the world today. We look around us in a world that is filled with suffering, a world that is filled with grief. Why such suffering? Why such grief? Because of the evil of man. Not only does sin bring evil, not only does the evil or the sin bring grief to the world, but it's also true in the individual life. To follow after evil, to live in sin, is going to bring personal grief to you ultimately. You're going to find yourself grieving over that which you have done, over the effects of what you have done upon your life. I think of those people who so carelessly and recklessly start messing around with drugs. And I think of the grief that it brings to their families. And then I see the grief that it ultimately brings to them. I see so many lives that are living beneath the potentials because of the damage that a person has done unto themselves by walking in the path of evil. God, don't let me take that path. Lord, keep me from evil that it will not grieve me. We read, and God granted him that which he requested. Interesting. There's a lot about Jabez we don't know. We don't know who his parents were. We don't even know his names of his brothers, but we do know that he's more honorable than his brothers. We do know that he was a man of prayer. We do know that he was a man who was blessed of God. We know that he was a man who had the hand of God upon his life, a man who had enlarged borders, and a man who walked in righteousness, because it says the Lord granted him that which he requested. But let me tell you, that if you will pray these same petitions, God will grant you these petitions. Because the scripture said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, then we have received the things that we have asked of him. It is God's will to bless you. God desires to bless your life. It is God's will that your borders be enlarged, that you be broadened. It is God's will that his hand be upon your life. And it is God's will that you be kept from evil. And if you will pray those petitions unto God, you can also be assured that God will grant you your petitions. I believe that it would be wise for each of us, the first thing in the morning, even before we get out of bed, to just say, Lord, today, bless me indeed. Lord, enlarge my borders today. Lord, keep your hand on me today. And Lord, keep me from evil today. Oh, how blessed we would be if we will just make that our prayer each morning at the beginning of the day. How that will transform and change your life. How that will bring new dimensions to you that you've never dreamed. And how long would it take you? Just a moment. After you've turned off the alarm, lie there and say, oh Lord, bless me today. Enlarge my borders. Oh God, keep your hand on me and keep me from evil. And then start the day. It'll be a different day, a different life, because God will grant those things that you ask of Him. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask that you will help us now to make application of the truth in our own personal experiences, in our own personal lives. That we will pick up on Jabez here. We will learn something from this man who stands out from just a long list of names. Suddenly, here's a name that stands out above the others. A man whose life stands out from the others. A man who is blessed of God. A man who has a broad vision. A man upon whose life the hand of God is resting. A man who walks in righteousness. Oh God, we would be as Jabez. Help us, Lord, to pray as Jabez. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord be with you and bless you, and may His hand be upon your life. That's what he was praying for, isn't it? And that's the thing that we say to you Sunday after Sunday. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. May you experience the presence of God and the power of God and the victory of God within your life as you walk in fellowship with Him, in Jesus' name.